Luke chapter 16. I'm going to read you a story and teach you a little Bible, and then we're going to finish up and go through, give you an overview of what we've been teaching, and I think just a whole list of very practical suggestions and helps. Many of these things can be incorporated this week to help you in your finances, maybe to give you a little bit of a reprieve, some of you, and help. And so let's look at Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word, Luke 16 and verse number 1. And he said unto his disciples, now listen very carefully. Well, I want you to focus in and think through this parable with me. I dare say most people in this room has read this parable many times, and probably like me, you've maybe shook your head and thought, I don't know if I get this. So let's pay attention and think about this there. And he said also unto his disciple, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. The same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And now stop and let's just apply that and think about it, okay? All right. We understand stewardship. We understand the five principles, okay? Now, verse 2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended, it's interesting, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now what we're doing is we're giving an earthly illustration to help with those of us that are children of light to know what we ought to do if we have mishandled, been unwise in our stewardship to this point. Okay, so think about that, all right? Then he said this, verse 9, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 13 we're very familiar with, but sometimes we disconnect it from this parable, and it shouldn't be disconnected from this parable. Let's pray. We'll talk about this story a little bit. And then we're going to give you hopefully what will be some practical helps. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would please enlighten us, give us some insight as to what the Scriptures say, and some instruction maybe to help us. And Lord, maybe not in all areas we've been unjust, but I think as we've gone through the month and taught the simple principles, many times there may be, Lord, areas in our life where if we were to have to give account today, we would stand accused by our Lord in some of our handlings of what is properly and rightfully His. So may we learn from this man who is, Lord, in many ways very unscrupulous, but at least in one way, for one thing that he did, he was commended. And I pray, Lord, that we could maybe learn something that would help us in this matter as we go through the teachings tonight. Now, Lord, it's been a good day at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to thank you for the good full house, Lord, tonight, the full house this morning, the faithful workers. Lord, I prayed especially an extra for our bus workers this morning. And, Lord, as they went out in really very severe weather and still faithfully did their job and transported young people to church, and Lord, as a result of that, and others bringing guests this morning, people were saved. We're thankful for that. Lord, help us to be instant in season and out of season. And Lord, thank you for just the little bit of feeble effort we do give each week. The way you bless it is amazing to me. Thank you for being just and faithful. Now bless us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to probably ask for those in just a little while. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do it now. But everyone's going to have to raise your right hand first. I've even put these in the folder. You promise not to open this folder till Pastor Jerry tells you to open the folder. Say, I do promise, so help me God. Liars, liars, a whole church full of liars. Now listen to me a minute, gentlemen. Let me give you some instruction. I didn't make tons of these because I wanted to be a good steward. So I've got enough for one per family. And then, so if a representative of each family would raise their hand, we'll give that to them. And one per family, okay? And if you're a young person and your parents don't attend here, I want you to have one. That's fine. I've made 50, and I hope that I made enough. And we've tried to be very frugal in the use of our copy machine, and we've used it extra this month, and so I'm trying not to make a bunch of things that I'll have to toss. Some of you are already peeking. Naughty, naughty, naughty. I'm telling you what. Just can't stand it. Can't, like kids at Christmas. Got to open the gift, you know. So I'm gonna have you look at it, and I hope what's in there will be a help to you. There is, by the way, a summarization, 6 pieces of paper in the very back of the folder that's a summarization of much of what we've covered. There's also some very practical things in there that I'm going to have you look at, and hopefully it'll be a help to you. Keep your hands up, and let's see how we do here. Boy, we're getting close, aren't we? I should have probably made a few more copies. I apologize. We will get you a few more. Why don't you go ahead and give? Thank you, Brother Jeffrey. And now, if you don't have the piece of paper that has the arrows, especially make sure that our guests get one, please. And if you've already got one, I think you pretty much are up on it. If you didn't bring it or you want one to look at today, you've got an extra one there also. Okay, good. If you can pass that down to... Who wants the sheet with the arrows on it and the picture with the arrows on it? Maybe you didn't bring that tonight. Anybody need that? That's fine. We've got some more left of them. We've already got them copied, so that would be fine. There's a young man down here, Brother Randy over here. Raise your hands high so they can get them right to you. Amen. Good. Up here at the front, Brother Josh. Okay. Good. Good. All right. We got it? Good. Okay. Amen. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I hope this will be a help to you. Gentlemen, ladies, let me ask you this, especially the men. This is something that's well worth your time to take now that you've had the opportunity for the entire month, to, and especially after tonight. I think especially after tonight it's important. Please do not delay to do what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to sit down sometime this week and take an hour or two and meticulously go through your finances. Meticulously go through your finances. And I promise you that if you'll do it now before January closes out and listen to the Lord and take heed the biblical instruction you've been given and make some adjustments, really, I mean this with all my heart, you will be, I think, shocked at how much better 2007 will go for you financially than maybe 2006 went. We need to get our financial houses in order. We need to get our financial houses in order. So, Brother Jerry, good night. You know, spend it all. I'll make more next month. You better pay attention to what is happening in our government. You better pay attention at the mounting national debt. You better pay attention to some of the ways already the judging hand of God is touching America. I'm telling you, you ought to get your financial houses in order because it's not going to get better. And I'm not a doomsday prophet, but I'm just saying you can't kill 47 million plus babies and just have God just keep opening the windows of heaven and dumping it on a nation. Sooner or later, there's going to be, we're going to pick up a tab on some of this and some of the other things that are happening in our country. So I want to be a blessing. Now, real quickly, take just a couple minutes and go through Luke chapter 16. Let me just make some observations. Here is a man that was accused to his Lord, a steward that was accused to his Lord, who was the Bible identifies him as a certain rich man, that he had wasted his goods. And so he called him up and said, what I'm going to do is at a set time, you're going to show up and we're going to go over the books. And you're going to give an account and I want to see what you're doing with my stuff. Okay? And so, verse number 3, by the way, this was an unjust steward. This man had some serious character flaws. Most of what this man does and says reflects, I think, a lack of character on his part. I'll prove that. But he does do one thing that the Lord commends. So think about that as I read now in verse 3. Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship." Let me just stop and pause there. Do you know what? It is very possible at some point that the Lord will just cease to trust me and you and cease to be as generous and cease to allow us to have the stewardship position, because if we just continually prove unfaithful, we continually mismanage what's His. You know what? Folks, listen. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I don't know of an earthly man that had some wealth who would continue to hand it to somebody that was constantly mismanaging it. And so I think that that's worth pointing out. And we ought to be faithful in this matter of our stewardship. Now notice verse 3, the last two things he says. I cannot dig, to beg I am ashamed. Again, this man is not very impressive. This man has not impressed me at all as I think about him. Let me say this, if we have character flaws in the management of money, oftentimes those same character flaws show up in a lot of other areas in our life. Here's a man that says, I cannot dig. You know what he said? I don't want to have to work for a living. Then he says, also, I don't want to beg. So, you know, he's just not the kind of guy you'd want to sit up in front of your boys and say, be like this guy, okay? He's nothing to brag about. Then he says this in verse number 4, and I think the motive even of what he does is wrong. I am resolved what to do when I am put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And so he begins to think, I'm probably going to get kicked out of my stewardship. So when I do, what I'm going to try to do is make some friends out of the people that my Lord does business with. So maybe they'll have pity on me and let me have a position in their establishment. Now, I'm a little puzzled about this. If he comes and they know that he's mismanaging the Lord's finances, I'm not sure why they'd probably hire him into their house, but that's his thinking, okay? Now, notice, if you will, verse 5 and 6, and think with me about this. Verse 5, so he called everyone his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down, and quickly, and write 50. And then it says this, he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. So what he's done is, by the text, we know that he's mismanaged the things. He's mismanaged the things here. Sorry, I'm just going brain dead up here. But he mismanaged his Lord's possessions. And so what he decided to do was, I'm going to have to go see the Lord. Think about this, because this is the real thought. Here's the real teaching, I think, behind this, one of the main teachings. It is better for me to show up with part than with none. So basically what he did was, he did some quick settling at a loss. Okay? He did some quick settling at a loss. Now, folks, let me just say this. I'm going to give you some areas where you can make some adjustments and it will help you. But if you are very, very much buried in debt and you're upside down on a lot of things, say, well, I just can't sell this because I owe more than it's worth. I can't sell it. It is far better at some point to sell and live with the losses and get the favor of God and His approval as a unjust steward who is at least making an attempt to get things as right as possible, than it is to just continue on in the quagmire that you've created. Now, I want to say this at the beginning. For some people in the room, you have some small adjustment that you need to make. Some of you have some medium-sized adjustments. Some of you may have some large-sized adjustments. I'm talking about life-changing adjustments that ought to be made so that in some amount of reasonable time, you can get you and your family back to where you ought to be. So I want you to consider that and consider this, that the Lord, I'll be honest with you, when I read what he does here, I think, well, the crook. But isn't it interesting that the Lord commended him for this? It was almost like he said, you know what, you made bad deals and you blew it, but at least you went and made an attempt to cut your losses and salvage something. And because of that, the Lord commended him. And so I want you to keep that in mind, because as we teach through this, I'm going to reference again this story. And I'm going to talk to you about this story a little bit, and when we cover part of what we're going to cover tonight. All right. Well, this is what we introduced our study with. This is the five principles that we introduced our study in the matter of Christian stewardship. Now, what I'm going to do is jump forward because I want to go over, and those of you, if you have the papers with you that have the box on it with the arrow, those are the areas that we're going to summarize. Every one of those arrows we're going to talk about tonight and give you very practical help when it comes to making adjustments in the three areas of income, in the three areas of biblical spending or biblical output, and then helps, I hope, in clogging up and patching up as many of the holes as possible. And folks, you may not be able to do everything, but let me promise you this. I serve a gracious, merciful, and forgiving God. And so do you. And what I found out is this. He's not a harsh taskmaster. And when he sees somebody make real efforts to make changes in their life, you know, the prodigal, the Bible says when the father saw him afar off, he ran to meet him. Can I say that? When I've tried to make adjustments in my life and turn something and head back towards God or back towards a good biblical foundation in some area, God is wonderful to meet me halfway and help me to make the return trip or help to fix the things that need to be fixed. And so I would ask you to make as many adjustments, make as many changes as you can, implement them, prove to the Lord that you're serious about it, stay with it, and see if the Lord does not meet you part way. I really think that's what you'll find, okay? Now, let's go. We're going to first of all talk about the first arrow. If you see your little, we have any extra of those sheets that have the arrows on them? Somebody have an extra one? Brother Eric, could you get me one, please? Thank you. I didn't bring that with me. It'll help me to look at it, too. This is what I'm talking about here. If you've got that picture, this box here is your stewardship box. This is what God's going to entrust you with over the course of your life. And so the stewardship box is everything that is going in. God wants you to fill that box up, or he allows you to fill it up. By the way, all good gifts come from the Father. It isn't your labor. It is your labor, but he gives you strength to labor. It may be your creative resourcefulness, but he gives you the wisdom to be creative. And certainly, he's the prayer-answering God. And so, then we have giving that should come out, paying for necessities, and also the management and distribution of abundance. I think if we only had those six arrows, young people, I'm talking about you that are 18, 19 years old, if you're right there, stay there. Stay there. Please stay there. Don't become materialistic. Don't become covetous. Don't decide you've got to live beyond your means. You've got to have as nice a vehicle as mom and dad. You've got to live in a nice house. I mean, you're going to be married 2 years and you already want to live in luxury and a nice house as grandma and grandpa. I mean, we've got to stop this. Be content. Learn content, okay? And then, of course, all of these arrows at the bottom represent, I think, things that God didn't really want us to get into, didn't intend for us to get into, and that, but they take away the abundance that we could have and also keep us sometimes from being able to pay the necessary bills and many times tempt us to cut back in giving, which just puts more holes in the bottom, I promise you. And we're going to talk about every one of these arrows tonight and summarize them. Let me talk quickly about labor. All right, what can I do, Brother Jerry? Give me just some practical good advice. All right, here it is. Work! There is no way. I have counseled with people. I have counseled with couples. I've counseled with families. You show me a family there's no kind way to say it. I'm not mad at anybody, but if a man has been raised with slothful tendencies, a man has been raised with a mentality that somebody owes him something, if a man has not been raised with a good work ethic or doesn't develop that good work ethic later, because listen, at some point, get off this. It's not mom and dad's fault. You're a man. You just do what you got to do. If there is a family, girls, gals, listen to me. If you are married to a man who is a worker, you are a blessed woman. There's no shortcuts. Work. That's God's plan. Every day. Okay? Except the Lord's day. Work hard. Hard. Well, I don't understand why everybody around me is getting promoted. Work hard. Give your boss an honest day's work. Let's move on. Now, and this will be some things I hope will help you. In your labor, in the job you now have, here's some questions you should ask. Is there any way to increase my income where I now work? Okay? Sometimes we need to increase what's going in here through our labor. So let me just ask you some questions that may or may not apply. Is it time to ask for a raise? Bible says you have not because you... All right. Is there movement within the company to a more profitable position? Can I tell you something? Sometimes we just get comfortable and lockstepped and we get in one place. Is there a possibility of some movement within the company where you might be able to move into something that's a little more lucrative? Should I consider another job entirely? Gentlemen, listen to me. Don't just get lockstepped into one place and never... Listen, if it's not paying the bills, you're going to have to look around. You know, sometimes you have to make changes. You have to make, you know, whatever adjustments. Would... This is a good one. Would additional training or education help me increase my hourly worth? Some questions to think about. All of these are on the paper that you'll be given in a little while here, or that you already have in your hand, actually. All right, let's continue. We're talking about labor. Here's some honest questions because it has to deal with slothfulness. How many hours per week are you now working? Now, I mean, if you had to write down a number on a paper and God knew your heart and God was, you know, right there over your shoulder, how many hours did you work last week? Should you increase the hours that you work? Folks, if you're not working, or you're not working very many hours, guess what? You're not bringing home much money. Okay? Should you increase the hours or look for another part-time job? You know, folks, listen, it's better just be busy. You know, some guys work a... You know, brother, I'm not going to start mentioning people. There's people in this room that work a full-time regular job, and they also do another little part-time thing on the side, and you know what? It helps them pay their Christian school bill, or helps them in some area to pay off a... I mean, you know what? You do what you got to do. And again, be very careful, folks, as you're making adjustments in your work, that you don't cross boundaries. And don't come to me in 2 weeks and say, well, you said something about I might need to get another part-time job, so I'm not going to be all in church on Sundays. Don't play those games. You obey the Bible in all areas. Amen? All right? Let's take a look at something else here. Do you have a tendency to be slothful? Remember, it takes just a little sleep, a little slumber to lead to poverty. Is all the time slotted in your schedule as work time producing the maximum earning potential? Get up early, work a full day, come home, and put in a good hour's day. Now, that's labor. If you're not doing those things, and there's other things we could cover, but I guarantee you this arrow's not putting in what it ought to put in. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to try to do this in a timely fashion. Creative resourcefulness. All right, that's our second arrow that's going to help put things in. This does not replace labor. This does not replace labor. Okay, it's very important. Creative resourcefulness. All right, let me cover some points that I hope will help you. Is there any way to use your skills you now possess to increase your income by broadening their application? I'm going to give you an illustration of this. It may not be a great illustration, and it's not a money illustration. But everything I do, I want to maximize the potential of it. For instance, I preached this morning a sermon. Now, let me just give you a spiritual application. I hope you'll be able to apply it to your work. I preached a sermon. I worked this week, studied, researched, typed out, illustrated, and put a lot of time into producing a message for this morning, and I preached that message. Now, all that work I put into it produced a product, the sermon. Now, that sermon that I preached this Sunday morning reached as many people as was in this congregation. Okay? But I look at that sermon that I've already put all the work into, that's already done and already preached, and I say to myself, I want to maximize the potential of that work that I put in for the Lord Jesus Christ and for that sermon for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one of the reasons we've done some of the things we've done of late. I walked into Stoll's yesterday and took our guests to Stoll's, and there was a lady as I walked through the door, and she grabs my arm. I don't know who this lady is. And she says, Pastor Ross, Pastor Jerry Ross, how are you? I'm okay. I have no idea who this woman is. She says, keep up the good work. I love your radio program. Amen. Well, amen. Now, what I did was, I could say I put all that work in, and now that sermon affects this many people and gets this much of eternal impact. But what we did was, because of the graciousness of the radio station down here, and because some of the men come in and take that sermon, and Thomas shrinks it down, puts bumper music on it, and we're taking that work that I'd done, and now we're maximizing it, and you'd be shocked how many people in this community every morning on the way to church or at their house at 9 o'clock listen to that same sermon. Now watch this. We also put the sermon on the website. You know, missionaries from all over the world who just are hungry for preaching. Not only my website, but other websites visit and listen to preaching. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying I did the same amount of work and it produced a product. Now, I can be satisfied with the results of that work, or I can say, how can I maximize that to its fullest potential? I hope that makes some sense to you. Within your business, can you branch into a related business that would increase earning potential, the work you're already doing? Sometimes if you're going to do the work and you're getting this much for it, well, how can you expand or change that? And everybody's situation is so different. It may apply, it may not. Just ask the Lord to give you some wisdom, okay? All right. Should you go into business for yourself instead of working for someone else? Creative resourcefulness. Let me just caution you here. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Sometimes, be careful what you wish for. Honestly, you ought to very, very, very carefully proceed in this direction, and you ought to talk to some men that do it, and you ought to understand fully what you're talking about, what you're getting into. You know, sometimes we spend our life looking at the boss, and we think, boy, if I just had what he had and make what he... You probably have no idea. Honestly, you probably have no idea unless you've done it. Some of you have, some of you do every day, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not saying it's a wrong thing to do. I'm not saying it's not the thing for you to do. I'm just saying you ought to sit down with some people first who have done it before you make the decision, okay? Just a word of caution, all right? Now, let me say this. Is your savings earning you money? I'm going to talk to you about savings. Say, well, I don't have any savings, so it's not earning me money. But we're going to talk a little bit about that and maybe help you with that a little bit, okay? When you do begin to accumulate savings, make sure that you're maximizing the potential earning power of your savings, okay? I've got to keep going. Do you now possess or could you produce or develop something that could be copyrighted or patented? Is it marketable? How could you profitably market it? All of this is on paper. You'll be able to go back and think through these things. Ask the Lord to help you have some creativity, some wisdom. It may be something you've already worked, produced. It's there. You just got to figure out a way to make it marketable. Okay? Look for opportunities to make money as a middleman. What is in demand? Could you become a supplier? Is it financially feasible? I'm talking about creative resourcefulness here. Okay? Now let me finish by giving you this, which I think is kind of a good definition or wrap up on this. Brother Jerry, I'm not sure I understand the creative resourcefulness. Creative resourcefulness identifies ways to make extra money with minimal investment of time and overhead. These side jobs earn extra money that can go directly towards extra giving or especially debt reduction, which is going to help you tremendously in the long run, okay? So, gentlemen, let me just say this. There's no magic formula. Sometimes you get upside down. You know, I've known guys literally. You know, if you start paying attention, how many guys you see, and I'm not trying to cut the Levi's business here, but you know how many guys you see that work regular 40-hour jobs that about once a week you see them driving around with a little trailer and a lawnmower on the back of pulled behind the back of their truck? And you know what? They work a regular job, but they also take one evening a week and go out and knock out 2 or 3, 4 yards, or part of a Saturday, knock out 2 or 3, 4 yards, make an extra $125 or $150. They already own the mower. They don't have to go out and buy it. They've got one for themselves. What I'm just saying is, and there's no magic formula. Forget all the little articles in the back of the magazines. Forget the 30-minute infomercials. Folks, they're cons. It's all a con. Remember the old saying, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. It's a con. Get off that stuff and just say, Lord, how can I go out and earn, or am I already doing something that I can increase the earnings on, and that will help in this matter of creative resourcefulness. Now let me talk to you about answered prayer. I'll go through them quickly. I think that that's very important. If any of you lack wisdom, that's me. Amen. That's on my prayer list every day. Okay? God's got more wisdom than I do. So I'm going to go access as much of it as I can. Pray for financial wisdom. Pray for strength to labor. Amen. Amen. And I know Brother Jerry's a hard taskmaster when it comes to this. Work, 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 work. I do understand there's people that cannot work. I know there's men that physically or in other areas of life that have problems. I do understand that. But I don't believe for one minute that it's the amount that's not working. I don't believe for a minute. And God knows, and I'm not the judge of that, and I'm not trying to be overly harsh with anybody, but pray for strength to labor.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Pray for... Hey, Brother Jerry, I felt like that unjust steward you were talking about. God is so merciful. Lord, I've made mistakes. I'm sorry. I need your mercy, Lord. I need your grace. I need your wisdom to help me so that I can prove again to you that you can trust me. I'm asking for mercy. I've never. I can't find one place in the Bible where someone prayed for mercy and didn't get it except the rich man in hell. It's the only person in the Bible that ever prayed for mercy and didn't get it. So if you're not in hell right now, you ask for mercy, God will be gracious to you. I promise you that's true. I pray for an abundance to help you attain financial freedom. I'm going to talk to you about that abundance in just a second. Pray for creative resourcefulness. Examine the scriptures, then examine your life for things that would hinder your ability to get your prayers answered. You know, you can pray all you want, but there are specific Bible teachings that tell us that in some areas, if we are not doing what we ought to do, God does not and will not hear and answer our prayers. So make sure that you're on praying ground, okay? All right, let's talk about, that's the three arrows going in. Did you get it? Are you staying with me? Now let's talk about the three arrows going out. First of all, giving. I sound like a broken record. Give tithes and offerings every week. Give to missions. Give to the building fund. Those are the three biblical, specifically biblical areas of local New Testament church giving. And I think every single person ought to be involved in all three. If you don't do this, it's going to be hard for you to pray and ask God for help and have Him honor your prayers. It's going to be impossible for Him to honor your prayers if you're not willing to do these things. As God presents opportunities, help the poor. Well, Brother Jerry, I have need. All through the Bible, there's people that were needy that helped those who are more needy. Okay, out of their poverty, Paul said that there was a church that out of their poverty gave to help another church. And so always be open to that. As God presents opportunities, help the brother. And I think even within the church family here, we ought to be alert to that. We ought to have a tenderness of heart about that. Because, again, it's just very scriptural, okay? So there's our giving. Pray for necessities. Pay for necessities. That's the second one that comes out. All right, let's talk about that for a few minutes. Now, I'm going to get very, very practical. Listen to me. I mean, you need a big, giant kitchen table completely clear. You need a calendar in front of you that you can write in what you owe and the dates that it comes due, and you need to pile everything in front of you, and you need folks, listen, if you're just, what came in the mail, I don't know, put it in the stack, when's it due, I'm not sure, let's do the... Get organized. Get organized. You've got to know where your money's going. Pay for necessities. Now, you need to list all of the monthly bills that you are now paying. I am happiest when I have the fewest monthly bills. I hate monthly bills. I don't like monthly bills. I'm happiest when I have the fewest. My goal is always to keep... That's why I hesitate to have or sign up or get involved with anything where someone is going to send me a little letter once a month and want money. I avoid that like a plague. I try to keep it to the bare minimums of life. I don't like it. I've got some now that I'm getting rid of. I don't like it. Okay? All right. So list them all that you're now paying. I'm not helping you here. You and God do this. All right? I want you to separate them. Stack them. Here's things I have to. Here's things that are needs. Here's things that I still owe on, or I still am getting billed on, but they are not the needs of life. This is not a need. Thank you. If it was, Brother Charles, how did we live almost our entire lives without it? If it was a need, you would have died before they were invented. Yeah, but I'm worried about my wife. Fine. If you can afford it, if you can't, it's not a need. Yeah, but nothing. The yeah buts is what's got you in debt. Separate the needs from the wants. A satellite dish is not a need. Four-wheeler payments, not a need. Okay? Now, you got your little stack of wants bills. Things you probably should have never signed up for, got, bought, that you're making payments on. Eliminate all those bills you can. All of them that are not necessities. If you can cancel a service, cancel it. Well, I can, but I'll take a loss. Remember the unjust steward? Well, if I sell this, I owe more than... Remember the unjust steward? It's far better to get rid of the monthly bill and take a temporary hit than it is to sit there in the quicksand and quagmire and be the same place you are 6 months from now. And let me just say this. It's supposed to hurt a little bit. If it doesn't, you won't learn anything. I won't learn anything. It's supposed to hurt a little bit. Okay? Everything you can, get rid of. Everything you can, cancel. Everything you can, pay the penalty, go on, learn your lesson. For sale signs, you're allowed to buy some. About 99 cents down here at Rash. Okay? Look at every bill that you cannot eliminate and ask the question, how can this bill be reduced? Now, what I'm trying to do here, folks, there's a method here. There's a method behind the madness. We need to uncover a certain amount of money a month that we can reclaim because we're going to need it in a little while here. Because some of the debts that can't be eliminated, there's only one way out of them, and that's the hard way. But you can't get out of them paying the minimum. You can, but it's going to take you your entire life. So you need to eliminate, make hard decisions, and eliminate what you can because you need to come up with $100 or $150 extra dollars a month that's now going out on junk. You need to, or $200 a month, and we're going to redirect that. Or whatever you can, we need that money. Okay? So how can this bill be reduced? See, I'm not sure. We'll call every company you owe and ask them how you can reduce your monthly bill. Brother Jerry, I signed a cell phone contract. There's no way out of it. I don't think there's any way out of it. It's not feasible to get out of it. Well, listen, folks, listen. Let me tell you what this is for. Let me show you my phone. Okay, see this? It does not take pictures. It doesn't play music. I can't get a TV on it. I can't get the internet on it. I can't text message. You know what it does? It rings, and when you open it, you talk, and when you're done, you hang up because it's a phone. And when you signed up for that thing, all those little fun, well, but this is cool, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool. And so you added all those bunch of unnecessary frills so you can sit at the back and show off to each other about, you know, you set your phone down and it dances. Your phone dances. Your phone doesn't do that. Look what my phone does. My phone dances. Yeah. Cost you an extra $5.99 a month, but I mean, it dances. This is just one example. This is a tool, not a toy. It's a tool, not a toy. Now, kids, if you want toys, then go buy a toy. One that you're not going to have to make monthly payments on, okay? Well, we're dingy. So eliminate all the frills. Get every bill that you have to have and get it cut down in any way to the smallest possible amount, okay? If you have signed a contract, honor that commitment because you got to be honest. But do not extend any contract that is not a necessity until you're out of debt. I'm pointing at that. I want to give you this. I think you ought to get some counsel. I almost didn't put this on here. But, folks, you ought to consider this at least. If you got a $250 deductible on your car insurance, if you raise it to $500, it's going to lower your monthly payment. I wouldn't suggest you do that unless you have, and I'm going to show you how to do this, unless you put some savings away so that if something happens, you have that $500. If you could put a savings account and keep a minimum of $1,000 in it, you could raise your deductible $1,000, and you would be shocked how much your premiums go down. Same thing on your homeowners. I'm just saying, every bill that's on the table, there's no sacred cows. What do I have to do to reduce everything to a minimum and still use some godly wisdom? Okay? And again, be careful what you do here. Now, we're going to look at number 6, the arrow coming out. Managing and distributing the abundance. All right, you say, Brother Jerry, and I promise you this will be true. I promise you this will be true for two reasons. I'll give you the two reasons. I promise you that if you begin to seriously make adjustments and try to work your way out of debt, God will bless you and He will reward you for your efforts and He will. And by the way, He is now, probably, because God's gracious. We get abundance. We get unexpected blessings. We get unexpected jobs. We get unexpected income. But God may not give it to us much because every time He does, we just mismanage it. Now, or if you do get to the point where you're blessed and you get rid of some of these things and the box starts accumulating abundance, you ought to be I believe this arrow right here may be the most important because it proves to God whether or not I am trustworthy to handle an abundance in life. The man in Luke chapter 12 proved untrustworthy when God gave him an abundance. He misused it, mishandled it, was selfish with it, and God even took his life for it. And thank God he hasn't done that with us, or hasn't, but that's how serious it is with God. Now, if you receive an abundance, I mean, you're working your job, you've got this, you know how much money's coming in a week, you know how much you're earning, and all of a sudden, boom, God gives you an extra $100 through some way that you weren't expecting, and all of a sudden, there's this extra $100. Isn't that fun, by the way, when those things happen? That's a blessing. Now, it's also a test. I think, number one, it's a reward. It's God saying, attaboy, I see what you're doing. Let me give you a little boost here. But number two, it's a test. I promise you, and you've got to get that thinking. Every time God blesses you in some way above, man, I thought I was going to make this much on this job, and I made this much. Or man, all of a sudden, I landed into, we're figuring that we're going to average this much a week over the course of the year. And this week, man, God gave us, or this came in unexpected. What do I do with that? Give tithes and offerings off of the abundance. All of a sudden that $100 comes in. Folks, listen to me. $10 is the tithes and some extra for the offering. That is, number one, the best thing that you can do with that abundance. Okay? What else should I do with the abundance? Stop after you give tithes and offering. You don't have to pray about this, by the way. You don't have to pray about the tithes and offering. Seek the Lord's direction when distributing. Now, what do I do with this extra? Let's say you give, I'm just going to throw this out. Let's say you give, $100 comes in and you give $10 for tithe and you give $5 to the building fund and $5 to the missions and you've got $80 left over. Now, listen to me. It's very important because the abundance comes from God and God's direction is more important than anything else right now. And if you prove faithful in being sensitive to what He wants you to do with it, and you do it, then you will have proved that you can be trusted with more abundance. Make sense? Okay, so that's where you stop and pray. You've got to seek the Lord's will. Now, ask Him, and because I think that this is one of the reasons that God gives us abundance, especially when we've accumulated some debt. He gives us abundance to help us to pay off our past mistakes. So you may take a percentage of that that's left over and say, Lord, I'm going to take a chunk of this and I'm going to prove that I'm serious about getting out of debt. So I'm going to take, of the 80 that's left, I'm going to take $40 or $50 and I'm going to put it right on this bill that I've been praying and asked, help me get out of debt. And you know what? The Lord sees that and said, you know what? He's using this money wisely. I can give Him more stuff because He uses it. Now listen, you get that $100, don't tithe off of it, run out and buy it and blow it on something when you owe people. And you don't consider God's will, and you don't consider giving, you don't consider what God, you don't pray about it. Listen, excuse me, but do you really think God's going to look down from heaven and say, I'm going to give Him more? You see? So a lot of this, that's very important that we consider paying extra towards our debts and debt reduction. Place part, I'm going to give you this, I believe it's scriptural. Place part of all abundance in the short-term savings. Place all part of all abundance into long-term savings. Now, I want to just challenge you because I want to just give you something. And by the way, I think there's one more. You know what? Sometimes the Lord will, He sees you do this stuff and He'll say, you know what? Okay, here's a $100 bill. You gave tithes and offerings of it. You gave some to the building fund. You gave some to the missions fund. You took another $35 or $40 and put it on the MasterCard bill. And you know what? I'm going to take just a few dollars. Now, I talked to you about savings. Well, Brother Jerry, how do you accumulate savings? Every bit of abundance that comes in, take a percentage, a predetermined percentage, and put it in a short-term savings account, a long-term savings for retirement. Every bit. Now, I'm just going to suggest something to you, and you can do what you want. And I don't want you to forget forget B, because whatever God says to do it, you ought to. But if you are in the habit and you have a life pattern of getting abundance and mishandling it, I'm just going to put this thought in your mind and then you seek the Lord's will. What if for the next 6 months or the next 2 months you said, Lord, I'm going to on paper determine percentages in advance of where every penny of abundance will go. I promise I will give 15% into the offering, general fund. I'll give 5% into building and 5% into missions, and I'll give 50% in debt reduction, and I'll take 10% and put it in a savings account and leave it alone, 10% towards retirement. And now I don't know how many percents I've got here, but let's say you've got 10% left, and you say, Lord, the 10% of whatever comes in left, with your okay, I'll buy something nice for the wife, or buy something for the kids, or we'll use it on maybe something, maybe we'll go out to eat. And you laid that out, and you said, Lord, now watch this, be careful what you promise God. Don't make a vow lightly. But you know, sometimes just putting a fleece out there and showing God, give me a chance, prove me, Lord. Now, you know what's going to happen? A small abundance is going to come in. And all of a sudden, the old carnality is going to jump right at the top, and we're going to immediately start thinking in the old unbiblical ways. What can I go buy? What can I go do? Where can we go? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's going to say, wait a minute, don't we have a contract? Okay, Lord. Okay, you've blessed me. But Brother Jerry, it's only 50 bucks. It's only 20 bucks. Well, if you're the Lord, you think you'd risk huge amounts based on your track record? Maybe he's just going to give you a little to try it. But maybe if you're honorable, then more, and honorable, and more. I'm just saying that I think if we want the Lord's blessing and we want to be provided with abundance, we ought to be willing to be good stewards and prove to the Lord that we can be trusted with it. And again, that's just a suggestion. The Lord may give you a lump sum that he wants you to give to the building fund. He may give you a lump sum that he wants you to give tithes and offerings on and put all on your debt. Seek the Lord's guidance. It's between you and him. But I think sometimes without any kind of predetermined plan, what we do is we just waste abundance. Okay? So think about that. That's managing and distributing the abundance. Now let's talk about the ones at the bottom. Okay? We're going to go through them. We're doing good on time. Paying back borrowed money. Paying back borrowed money. All right? List all debts. Open up your folders. I want to show you something here, okay? On the very first piece of paper that you have, if you've got it turned right, it should just be a very simple white piece of paper that says something on it. What's it say, Cassie? It says, borrowed money to be repaid, and it lists three imaginary debts you have, okay? All right? There you go. Paying back borrowed money. List all your debts. Know how much you owe, all right? Who you owe what to. You ought to keep a ledger. It does not have to be a fancy ledger. A plain notebook, spiral notebook, will work fine. Now, what I have in the following pages, you need to reproduce and have some of what I'm going to show you for every single debt you owe. All right? List all debts. Paying back borrowed money. B, if you can get rid of it, sell it. But I'm going to lose $300. Folks, you're going to pay $300 in interest and more. You're already losing. You've already lost $300. You're going to lose $600 or $800 or $900 more. Sell it! Okay? That's Luke 16, by the way. Unjust steward makes good. Okay. Now, I want you to look at the first piece of paper past the white piece of paper. All righty. Now, let me see your white piece of paper, and that'll help you. Help me, at least. Now, you've got a Visa card that's got 8% interest. Now, some of you may argue with my tactics here, but just let me keep it simple, and you can decide what you want to do personally. Somebody owes Visa card, and they're paying 8% interest on it, and they owe $786. Then they have a MasterCard with 18% interest because of the small print where you thought you were getting it for 0% interest for the rest of your life, and that was only 3 months, and now it jumped to 18%. Those dirty rats, those sneaky people. Then you took a second mortgage on your house, and you got it at 10%. And now just those three debts, you owe $10,000. And Brother Jerry, these monthly bills, and how am I going to ever get $10,000 paid back? Like I said, it's supposed to be hard. If it's hard and you dig your way out, you'll really think about doing it again. Okay? Now, what you ought to do is list them in the order of amounts owed like I have. Now, the green piece of paper, I want you to see that they require a minimum payment of how much? $50. But you're going to make a commitment to pay $200 because you're going to take an extra $150 and put it with the $50 and you're going to pay $200. Well, I don't have an extra $150. That's why you've got to take all the bills and lay it out, and you've got to tweak everything. You've got to be ruthless. You've got to free up every dime you can free up. And folks, can I just tell you this? You have the $150 right now, probably more, coming in a month. That's being thrown away on impulse buying, unwise spending, or bills that you can tweak or eliminate, you've got it. I can almost guarantee that across the board here, you have it. Now, I may be wrong in a couple instances, but for the most part, you have it. So you just have to be ruthless, and then you get this money and you eliminate what debt you can. You take that extra $150 and you put it with that minimum payment. Folks, if you just pay $50, that instead of being paid off by how? What time? April? You're going to pay the whole year on it. Still not have it done. Okay? So now instead of paying the $50, you're paying $200. And this is exactly what you need to do. You need to write January. You need to make sure that every month you sit down and you write interest. Well, I don't know how much interest. It's on the bill. How much interest you paid in for that month is on the bill. Well, if it's on the bill, why do I need to write it down? Because you need to feel the pain. Write it down. And then add it to the previous balance, because they did. Then you're going to pay $200 and you're going to subtract it, because that's what your less money. And that's where you're at the end of January. Then when the bill comes in February, you're going to write the interest down and you're going to add it. And you're going to feel the pain again. But you're going to give $200, and guess what? It's going to take it down, and you're going to sit there and say, you know what? This is kind of cool. They're still socking it to me, but I'm socking it back, and I'm going to be out of this in a few months. Amen. So by April, guess what? You write a $200.75 check. Actually, I can see better this far away than I can close. I'm going to have you hold all my sermon notes down here, and I'll stand up here. This really works. You pay 75 extra cents, and you know what? You tear that thing up. You put that in a closed file. Those people don't bother you again. Now, wait a minute. You've managed to take $200 extra dollars, and you, for these months, put it on your Visa bill, and now you got it paid off. Now, turn to the next page, which is blue. Same year. Okay? This is a MasterCard. That's one that you ended up with $3,000 on, and you're paying a staggering 18% or higher. I mean, man, it's unbelievable what they can get you into. Look at the interest. Man. By the way, look at the minimum payment. Folks, you know what that's called? A vicious, endless cycle. Now, you notice for January, February, March, and April, you pay the minimum on this bill. You know why? Because all the extras go into the smallest amount. But look what happens in May, where I've got the little star written beside it. Since that's paid off, now you take that $200, and you don't go borrow more money, or you don't go buy something. You say, one down, number two, here we come. And notice the interest, 45, 44, 44, 44, 43. You're not making much headway, are you? But notice after you kick in the $200, instead of paying $60, all of a sudden from May on, you're paying $260. Look at the interest, 43, 40, 37, 34, 30, 27. Isn't that a lot better? Look at the amount. By the way, you ought to look over at that amount. You owe $3,000, then you owe $3,045. Well, I only borrowed $3,000. It's called interest. Then you pay $60, and guess what? After you pay $60, you are $20 less than what you originally owed. That stinks. Yeah, it does. Now, keep on working down, but notice what happens once you get past May and you start kicking that in. In June, you go from $27.52 to $24.92. Goes back up to $25.30. Ow! Yeah, that just went in some rich cat's pocket, okay? And then all of a sudden you go to $22.70, then you go back up to $23.04, then you go to $20.44, and then September's big, because for the first time you're under $2,000. And you know what? That's going to be a blessing. Now, go ahead and turn the page, because we're going to continue on. Look what happens by the time you get to, yes, I'm talking about your second blue page. We're now into 2008, but in May of 2008, you don't even have to pay the $260, because the last payment is $11,197. So, yeah, but what should I do with that extra? Take the wife out to eat. Folks, listen, it doesn't have to be all painful. Honestly, by now, you deserve a little reward. 1 month reward, one time. Don't get back into the lifestyle. But now, all of a sudden, now let's go to the yellow piece of paper. And by the way, two of these, it's not quite the middle of 2008, and you are only getting one envelope instead of the three that you were getting. Now notice, well, this one hurts. You say, well, Brother Jerry, $6,214 at 10%. The interest on the first month is $51.78, and they're only asking me for $75? They don't care. Now, they may ask for a little more of that, but you know how many second mortgages are out there where all you have to pay on it is the interest? Which is kind of insane when you think about it. You only build the interest, which means you will never pay it off. So, or either that or they just have a very little bit that you're actually paying. Now, look down that column. You start at $6,214. At the ending balance down after an entire year, you are at $5,918. And yet every single month you've sent them $75. And they made off you 51, 51, 51, 51, 51, 50, 50, 50, 50, 49, 49, 49. Okay? Turn the page on the yellow piece of paper. See the little star down there? By June, guess what gets to happen in June? That $260 that you paid off gets added to the $75 that you've been paying. And all of a sudden, notice how everything changes from that point on. You start making some real headway. It's still a large amount of money. It's still going to take some time. By the way, look at October, what I wrote down there. I think there's more of these. I was very cautious to add these things. I guarantee you, more will happen than what I've written down. What's the two little stars say beside it at the bottom? God blessed with abundance after tithe and offering was able to pay $150 extra. So maybe God sent you $200 extra. Somehow God trusts you with $200 extra. You gave tithes and offerings. And you know what you just said? Lord, I've committed to this. I've asked you for abundance. I'm going to prove that when you give me abundance, I'm going to be a good steward with it. So on that particular payment, instead of paying the $335, you pay $485. And you know what the Lord says in heaven? You know what? This is a pretty good investment right here. This guy's trying. This guy's, when I do bless him with extra, he does right by it. And so we continue on. The end of that year, 2008, we're now down to 3576. Turn the page. We're into 09. 09, yeah. Isn't it so easy with one signature to get in? Okay. Notice what happens by the end of the year. Amen! There's another double one there, another double star, and it says, God provided an abundance of 250 extra after tithes and offering. After I gave tithes and offering, I have 250 extra. Maybe God gave me $350, and so I took a little here and put it in savings, a little here and put it in savings, but man, the lion's share of it, I'm going to give to the Lord. Or not give to the Lord, I'm going to pay off the debt. Okay? Now, notice down here where it says, amen, you now have $335 per month to save or to apply to another debt, but all of a sudden you have gotten yourself a lot closer to financial freedom than before. Okay? You can close that all up now. This is what I'm going to talk about. Target the smallest amount. When that bill is paid off, take the amount you were paying on that debt and apply it to the next smallest debt. When that debt is paid off, apply both amounts to the next bill, continue till debt-free. Pastor Ross has taught us that in the past. And sometimes it sounds good, but I think hopefully looking at these pieces of paper, you can say, you know what, man, if I could just get rid of these three bills, I'd be in so much better shape. Well, you know what, two and a half, year and a half, depending on the blessing of God, they could be gone. Okay? Now here's the thing. Makes sense? And by the way, you meticulously write all these things in and you dig yourself out, you will not be as tempted by the shysters as you were before. Okay? Don't borrow any more money. That means, by the way, let me just give you this. Do not co-sign a loan for someone else. Do not co-sign a loan for someone else. Well, I'm not going to borrow money, but I'm going to co-sign for someone else. Do not do it. Do not do it. Just don't. Say, sorry, I made a policy in my life. I just made it for protection of my family. No. And people will ask you, but don't do it. What you're doing is you're helping them dig themselves a hole. Worst case, and even worst case, you could end up in that hole with them. All right? Get rid of the credit cards. Say, well, I got to have a credit card, Brother Jerry. Instead of a credit card, if it's absolutely necessary, get a debit card. It can be used like a credit card, but the money has to be there before you can access it. Isn't that right? That makes sense? Okay. You can buy plane tickets with it. You can buy anything you do with a credit card. Use a debit card. The money's got to be there first. Now, I promise you we're going to move quickly now. We've talked about paying back borrowed money. Let's talk about the interest. Paying interest on borrowed money. See if you can get an interest reduction with the creditor you're now with. Okay? Just call and ask. Just call and ask. If possible, switch balance of high interest credit cards to low interest credit cards, but be very careful in doing so. Read the fine print, know what you're doing, but they are available, and especially if you have gotten one that was low, you missed a monthly payment because it's in all of their fine print, you were late on one monthly payment and it went from 7% to 26%, then switch it to something that's lower. And you can do that. There's sites on the internet where you can get information for this, or go see a banker, make a call to 1-800 whatever MasterCard. I mean, I guarantee you, you can find one cheaper than probably you got it. Okay? Let me just encourage you to do this. How do I save on interest on borrowed money? Pay extra on your house payment if you're making a house payment. Every dime that you put above the payment will go directly to the principal. Even if it's a little amount, I don't care if it's 20 bucks, I don't care if it's 25 bucks, if you'll do it consistently, you will erase from the end of your loan, you know, several payments, sometimes years worth of payments. Okay, I helped a guy here a while back, talked to him about it. I said, go to your banker and talk to him, but see if this isn't true. He's paying $50 more per month on his house payment than the minimum. He is erasing two years and like 8 or 9 months worth of payments at the end of the loan just for doing $50 more. Now, that means instead of him having it paid off in 15 years, he's going to have it paid off in a little over 12 years. And he loses that many payments just because he's paying a little extra on it, okay? Beware of credit consolidation or eliminating debts with the second mortgage. Folks, there's all kinds of things out there, all kinds of people that want to take those that have accumulated a lot of debt and say, let me just pull all this together and do a debt consolidation, or let's take a second mortgage on your house, because instead of putting all this money out every month, you can lower this to just this month and it'll take the pressure off of you. This may lower your monthly payments, but tends to increase time frame, thus increasing total interest paid over the life of the loan. Do your homework carefully. Okay, do your homework carefully. I'm not saying it's always wrong to do one of these things. I'm saying do your homework. Let's talk about impulse buying real quickly, okay? Folks, this is more money than any of us probably understand. Impulse buying is an what? You can't trust a druggie. You can't trust an alcoholic. The druggies will get their drugs. The alcoholic, if it's possible, if not all of the holes are plugged, they will get their booze. That's why they got to take them to detox centers, put barbed wire around the fences, lock them up until they're dried out. You have to close the holes. You have to eliminate the possibility of impulse buying. I want you to go cold turkey. I mean this. I just wish we'd all try this for 1 week. I just wish we'd carry no cash and just decide, I am not buying anything that I absolutely do not need, and just try it. And you know what you'll find out in 1 week's time? How hard it is. How much we do it. Okay? Real quickly. Wow. Allow yourself a set amount of spending money per week. Pay cash for everything. Cut up your credit cards. Whatever money you're allotted for spending, that's it. When you spend it, that's it. Don't spend any more. Do not look at advertisements. This is important. I'm talking about today's Sunday paper. You open the middle. You grab all that stuff. Okay, flip through and find the coupons. You might need them. Take all of that stuff and throw it in the trash. Do not look at any sales flyers that comes in. Brother Jerry, I can't believe you're treating us. Do not do it. You're a druggie. Oh, look at this. Well, if you don't look, you're not going to go, oh, look at this. Pull out the coupons and the Gander Mountain flyer. Throw the rest of it. Gander Mountain. It's my outdoorsman shop. That's Brother Joseph. Make no provision for the flesh. You know how much money we just saved if we just stay home? Not just the gas, but when we insist on run, 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 we're going somewhere, and when we go somewhere, we just are probably going to spend money. What's wrong with home? We grew up, I remember when I was a kid, going to town was an event. Now it's a 3-time-a-day obligation. Honestly, we've gone wacko. So why don't you like going to Terre Haute? Because I'm cheap. Because when I go there, I'm probably going to spend money and the gas money to go there. If I don't need something, why go? I'm just going to be out money that I could have. Yeah, but it's fun. So's going to the nursing home. So's baking cookies, take them to the neighbor. So's playing a game at the kitchen table. Grandpa Ogle taught me this. Make the list. Buy what's on the list. If on your list is groceries, why are you in Goodies? Goodies do not carry groceries. That's why I always put beef jerky on my list, because Gander Mountain carries beef jerky. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. This is a great question. Well, Brother Jerry, I got this, but I can afford it. you know, this week I can afford it. That is never the question to ask. Well, we can afford it. Just because you afford it doesn't mean you ought to buy it. If you can afford it, that means you have an abundance. You can't afford it. So that's what you've prayed about, and that's what God wants you to spend it on. Stop asking the question, can I afford it? Ask, can I do without it?
Amen.
Eliminating unwise spending. We're getting there. Hang in there. We're almost done here. Price check all items before purchasing. Most of you ladies are masters at this. Most ladies are better than we are at this, gentlemen, really. My wife sent me grocery shopping, I think, one time in my life when she was very sick. Man, it was a disaster. I promise you, it was an utter disaster. I was in there for 2.5 hours. I couldn't find anything. I just kept wandering. And most of what I bought wasn't on the list. And I spent like 3 weeks worth of grocery money because I had no idea what I was doing. Next time, no matter how sick she is, she says, I will crawl there. You are not going back to the grocery store. I have no idea what I'm doing in a grocery store, you know, so I just try not to do it. You know, coupons will save you some money. I'm going to tell most of you things you don't know, but you got to take a little time to do it. Make sure you know the full price before making a purchase or commitment. This isn't so much on items off the shelf. This is on service items. You know, a lot of times they say you get all of this for this price, and then after you actually start to sign up for it, you find out and. Most advertised monthly commitment prices are not the price that you're going to write a check out and send every week. They have all kinds of little hidden charges. Just make sure you know what you're getting into. Careful of buying something that is inexpensive that will not last. You know, wise spending doesn't always mean buying the cheapest one, because sometimes what you can buy will be less expensive, but it's also inferior in quality. Maybe cheaper, won't last. So then what you do is you have to go buy and replace it with the one you could have and should have bought the first time, which is a little better and just a little more money, but you've double spent, so be careful. I think all of us guys have learned. I remember I put a screen door in our house back when we needed a screen door and we didn't hardly have any money, and I just went and got the cheapest screen door, and man, it was a disaster. That thing did not last. I mean, it was junk. So what happened was I ended up later on having to go buy the screen door if I'd have used a little more wisdom, and it was a better one, and it lasted us. But, you know, I learned the hard way. I bought and then had to rebuy, so be careful of those type of things, okay? Let's go on. Eliminating the devourer, that's another one. Folks, that's pretty easy to eliminate. You know what I'm going to say here, don't you? Well, I wrote out a check to Blessed Hope. It's not your tithe. Sorry. A school bill is not your tithe. A school bill is not your tithe. It's amazing how we try to finagle our way out of okaying robbing God. A school bill is not your tithe. Okay? Be sure to tithe of all your increase. Let me tell you where sometimes we get the devourer getting us where we don't realize it. The Bible says of all your increase. Now think about this. We had two or three people in the church, very kind. Thank you. I think we sent thank you notes to everyone. But we had a couple people in the church give us little gift cards to either go to a restaurant for me and my wife for Christmas. Sometimes people do that for our anniversary. They give you, let's just suppose I got two $25 gift cards, one for Cracker Barrel and one for Gander Mountain. Glory to God. Now, folks, is that increase? Am I supposed to tithe off that? Absolutely. If I don't, am I robbing God? Absolutely. If I don't, do I open a door for the devourer in my life? Absolutely. Do I want that? No. It's worth the $5. Trust me, it's worth the $5. Because God gave me 50 that I didn't expect. $50 and two opportunities to go do something nice for me and my wife and eat and go do something nice for me and buy me something for Gander Mountain. So why wouldn't I honor the Lord who's blessed me with increase? I talk about birthday gifts. Listen, I think sometimes you hear preachers saying this and you're just convinced that he just wants a... No. God is generous to us, but He expects us to give tithes and offerings of all our increase. Children, I mean this. Grandma gives you $20 for $2 that belongs to God. If you get in the habit of thinking that way, then you're not going to get in the business of robbing God, and you're not going to get the devourer after you, and you won't win that. Let me just say this. Everybody tithes. You'll either put it in the plate or you'll put it somewhere else because God's going to knock a hole in your box, and that money will go somewhere. Now, I want you to stop and think a minute. How many times in the last year, if you haven't been tithing, have all of a sudden something happen? Your bank account goes screwy or something else happens, and all of a sudden, you know what, you bounce a check or this bill happens or this thing breaks down. And all
Folks, do you enjoy living like that? Is that fun?
I don't.
Get rid of the devourer. Okay?
12.
We're at the end.
Preparing for or paying off a calamity or catastrophic financial setback. Now, I put this down, preparing for or paying off. Let me just give you this. Say, Brother Jerry, what if all of a sudden, you know, something unexpected happens and we have a huge medical bill, or when the kids break their legs, or, you know, one of the kids gets a cavity and toothache, we got it to go to the... And I didn't know that was going to happen. All right, let me give you several things. Always check to see if God is trying to get your attention in some way. This isn't always the case, but what I found out in my life, sometimes these things are God trying to teach me a financial lesson in some area. So I just want to throw that in there. Ask yourself this question. Is the calamity self-inflicted? In other words, have I taken my place out of a position where God can bless me, and I put myself, because of my unwise stewardship, in a position where God has to do these things in order to get my attention? Am I inflicting this on myself? Okay? Let me give you this. If possible, carry catastrophic insurance as a safety net. And I know with the health insurance situation, I know the other insurances, some of them are not optional. Some of them they make you do by law. Some of them they don't. But I would encourage you to get at least a catastrophic insurance policy in this matter of health. And you say, well, it's expensive, Brother Jerry. I know. But I think if what we'll do is look at our stewardship and ask the Lord for some help. Now, I will tell you this. John R. Rice never had health insurance. He used to say, you know what? I'm not going to have health insurance. God's going to take care of me. And God did take care of him. I don't want to attach spirituality to this one way or another. I don't want to say you don't trust God if you do or don't, or you're better Christian. I'm just saying that I deal with real life and a lot of real people, and real things happen to real people, good people, tithing people. Okay, I think insurance is a good investment. Okay, I'm just giving you your pastor's thoughts on that. Okay, for some reason God told you, like He told John R. Rice, and you don't want to do that's fine. I have no, you know, that's between you and God. But I just want you to be careful. It's good to have a safety net. These situations, I love this. I promise you this is true. And I'll read this, give you a story, then we'll pray. These situations allow you to see divine provision. Take these bills to the throne of grace. These bills are paid through answer prayer. Now look right up here. I promise you this is true. You say, well Brother Jerry, I've done the best I can, and we've put out safety nets where we can. Can I tell you this? You cannot construct your finances in such a way where you're untouchable. There is something that could happen that could be catastrophic that you have not thought of or prepared for. I don't think there's any way to foolproof yourself. But let me just share this with you. If it does happen, I think God sometimes allows these things to happen to show us how great of a God He is and how well He provides even in severe situations. I got the chance to preach this summer at the Circle C camp down here with Pastor Gary Dice. That was an incredible week. I don't know how I'm going to do it or when, but I've got it written down. I don't think we can do it in 07, but one of these days, Lord willing, I'm going to get Pastor Gary Dice here for a couple evenings, and I want him to preach to you and talk to you. What an incredible man. What an incredible testimony. His first wife contracted cancer and died of cancer. He said, on the day that I stood by her deathbed and watched her die in my arms, he said that day we had accumulated over $350,000 in medical bills that were sitting in there in the desk when that was said and done. Now he looked at me and he said, Brother Jerry, let me tell you this. 1 month later, every single bill was paid. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, how? He said, God. Now, I just think if God allows something like that, and He puts us in a situation where we've done as much preparation, we've used our resources as well as possible. Maybe we're not perfect, but and all of a sudden just something, lightning bolt comes in. You know, when we see something that says, that has written all over the top of it, impossible, God looks down and says, let me show you it's possible. Over $350,000 worth of bills in 1 month they were paid. So how did that happen? It happened a variety of ways. For one thing, a bunch of preacher friends knew had known what he'd gone through. Some churches took some offerings up. Brother Joe, how many times have you seen something like this happen? It's not just preachers. You know, this is the opportunities, folks, where brethren take care of brethren. I hope I always have an open heart to do that. Wife gets cancer, and they deal with it for 4 years and stand there and watch and have her die in his arms. I hope that I've
position myself financially so that I can sit down and say, I'm going to help that brother. But $350,000, folks, that's 350 people writing a check for $1,000. Here's a man that's given tithes. Here's a man that's given offerings. Here's a man that's made a lot less than he's worth, pastoring a little church. Here's a man that him and his wife didn't ask for this. It was just God's will for them. And God says, yeah, I know I've put you in a hole, but watch this. And he said, you will not believe how my faith was built during all of that.
So, Brother Jerry, all the insurances and all that, well, you know, folks, listen, there's no way to prepare for everything. I mean, at some point, you got to get up and look up to your Heavenly Father and say, God, I'm doing the best I can. I love you. I'm going to be as faithful as I can financially. And Lord, if something happens that's beyond my control, you know what? You allowed it, so I know you're going to take care of it.
And I mean that.
And you may have had something happen right now in your life like that, or you have some bill that you're looking at saying, you know, we didn't expect, we didn't see it. Can I encourage you to do something? You've fretted over it, you've worried over it, you've wrung your hands over it, you've paced the floor over it, you've lost sleep over it. It seems like we do everything except just spread that out. Remember old Nehemiah spreading that paper out before the Lord, spreading those letters out before God? Remember Hezekiah spreading those letters out before God, getting on his knees and say, Lord, you see this. What are we going to do about this? And some of the greatest faith-building times in your Christian life will be God stepping up and coming through. But listen, folks, as you're spreading that thing out and getting ready to pray, remember what I talked about? You got to be on praying ground. At that point, you're going to be glad your pastor badgered you about tithing. At that point, you're going to be glad your pastor badgered you about offerings and staying faithful and giving to the poor and giving to brethren. You're going to be glad you listened to the Holy Spirit. You're going to be glad you stayed faithful. Because you spread that thing out and you look up to heaven and you've removed yourself from the position of being able to get your prayers answered, it's not going to be any fun. I'm thinking about these things. I hope this has been a blessing to you. And I know we went long tonight. And I promise you this, the extra time we went this Sunday night, I will take off the sermon next Sunday night. It's going to work, brother. I'm afraid to pray now. I think I just removed myself from getting my prayers answered. So,
Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've spent together, Lord. Bless, Lord, now each and every one as we leave this place. Give us, Lord, the time. Help us to take the time, find the time in the next week, Lord, to sit down and do some figuring, get a calculator, some paper out, and a pen. And Lord, wherever we find ourselves, help us then to go to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, you've given us a lot of Bible on this. You've given us a lot. You've said a lot of things in the Scripture about this. Help me to align myself scripturally to the best of my ability. Help me to do the wise things, and if necessary, do some hard things. And Lord, please extend mercy and grace and help. And then, Lord, I pray that you would guide each one. Everybody's situation is different, Lord, but the Bible principles are consistent. And so I pray that you'd help us just apply what your word says. In Jesus' name I pray.